Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench with Carver High. Dieter Kurtenbach will join us from the San Jose Mercury News coming up here in about 10 minutes. I know that I'm watching the Jazz right now, and they're losing by 7 to the Blazers in Salt Lake Shakers, and it's about 8 minutes left in the third. So anyway, here's the deal. I saw Ingles get just obliterated by Nurkic on a screen. I mean, just obliterated, like knocked 5 feet through the air. I mean, just flew out of the television picture and everything. He got up and gave the ref the business because he absolutely got leveled. And I thought it was an illegal screen. But nevertheless, that happened. Secondly, the thing I wanted to say is the more I watch this team, the Blazers with Dame Time, McCollum, Melo. Melo's not even playing. But what's funny is he played like 60 straight games and never missed. And now all of a sudden he's out. But I'm watching this team tonight with Nurkic and Covington and the normal crew. I'm sitting there watching them. You know, they're basically handling the Jazz tonight on the road, no problems. Blocking shots left and right, setting heavy NFL screens. Nurkic doing whatever he wants at the rim. All kinds of domination by the Blazers. And my point being, Carver High, that they remind me of what I think people are giving the Heat credit for and not the Blazers. Everyone's saying the Heat are this dangerous team in the five in the East because of what they did in the bubble last year. And no one at all is giving the Blazers even a remote chance of doing an effing thing in the playoffs as the five in the West. Meanwhile, I'm watching them right now, and I mean, anything's possible in this game, right? Like, they could lose this game to the Jazz. It is what it is. But I'm just telling you, what I'm watching right now is a team that's very hard to beat. I'm watching a team that can ball, and that can shoot, and that can get physical, and that has, you know, a big that's physically dominant and dirty and, you know, will break your nose. And they got two shooters flat out, three with Melo. But McCollum and Dame Time are pure shooters, pure scorers. And so is Melo. And Covington can shoot the three ball. So I just saw him dagger from 30 feet. So I think, and I'm asking you, Carver High, do you believe what I just said, that, like, the Heat get all the love in the five in the East and the Blazers get nothing in the West in the five?
Yeah, I understand that, and I get it. I think it's just – and here's the thing. Everybody does that because the Heat went on that run last year and got to the finals. You know, the Blazers, pretty much almost the same group. 2 years ago, didn't they go to the West Finals? and lost to the Warriors? I mean, just 2 years ago. So they have guys that can get them through a couple of rounds of playoffs. Dame time gets as hot as anyone. Now, do I trust them, you know, to make a lot of noise? Not particularly. There's something not right there. Even when they win, the coach is getting fired. You know, the coach is out even when they're winning games. It's amazing what goes on there. I guess the players don't like the coach. That's really the only thing that I can get out of all that. But it is a bizarre situation.
Do you think they're, do you still feel like they're going to fire Stotts? We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Channel 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio, Hoorah, Soldier Hoorah. It's Pharrell on the bench with Carver High, 844-843-6879. Do you think they're still firing Stotts no matter what?
100%. Yes.
So you think...
Yeah, there's something going on with these players. And when I say these players, I mean the guys that matter and Stotts. Because even when they get hot and they start winning games, you still get the reports. Well, you know, he's out. He's going to be out at the end of the year. That's just, it is what it is.
Yeah, I've been seeing all this stuff. I've been hearing Scott Brooks is going to get fired. I've been hearing Bjorkgren's getting fired. Right? Like,
or everybody's in a rush to give Jason Kidd a job. So we got to make sure that we get Kidd and Chauncey Billups jobs. We got to make sure we get them hired.
How many jobs has Chauncey Billups been in line for over the last 2 years? And he never got any of them.
Seems like every single one.
It's every single one. It's Chauncey Billups. I've heard he's getting every single job for the last 2 years and he never gets any of them. And I'll tell you why they don't hire Mark Jackson. Because when he was the coach in the Bay with the Warriors, he was a whack job. Like, he was out, like, preaching on street corners, right? Was he not? And he got all religious on him, and everybody was kind of freaked out by that. And then they, you know, rubbed him out, and that was the end of him. And now, you know, he does a good job on the broadcasts. For the most part, I guess. But I keep hearing that, you know, you always hear he's going to get a job again. I don't think anyone's hiring him as a coach. I really don't. Did you see that article? I don't know if you saw it or not. Think about this before I go. The article that our boy Wojcinski did on all the NHL, the coaches in the future here, like the hot names and all that. I read that. That was pretty interesting because, you know, 75% of them I've never heard of. But they're very, you know, popular in the game around the minors and stuff. So interesting to see how that plays out. I don't know, Carver High, if you can remind me and to get your reaction later in like the last segment or two of the show of what you thought of that article, because I was fascinated by all those names in hockey that I've never heard of that are going to be the future of the sport. So we'll do that later anyway, because I won't remember. Dieter Kurtenbach, our buddy with the San Jose Merc, great paper out in the Bay Area. And we thought we'd bring him on. There's a lot going on out there that's worth talking about for sure. Dieter, how you been, buddy? Hope you're well.
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on again.
Oh, always, man. So I want to start with, because I really do want to talk about everything, and I guess I want to start with the 49ers and what you thought of that draft. Where they got Trey Lance. Did you think that that's what they were going to do, or were you biting the bait that they had out in the water with Mac Jones for the month leading up to their surprise? They shocked everyone by taking Trey Lance, I think, at some capacity.
I'm with you, man. It was frustrating. I think I had called out what was actually happening, which was that the 49ers weren't doing a damn thing. They were keeping their business to themselves, and everybody else was just sort of applying 12th pick conjecture to the third pick because they had gotten this thought in their head about Mac Jones when the Niners were still at 12 before they made that trade. And I called that out, and then I clutched at the last minute. I'm not going to lie. There were too many people that I respected both on and off the record, who were just talking up Mac Jones too much. And I go, I don't agree with this. I don't think it's smart, but man, I do respect these people, and there's just too much smoke for me to not kind of hedge my bet here. And I switched my, my mock draft at the last second, and I've never been happier to be wrong, man. Mac Jones would have been a disaster here in the Bay Area. I don't know if Trey Lance is going to be any good, but at least it's a hedge on the future with a quarterback who can also run. I just don't know if you can have a quarterback who can't run in the NFL in 2021, much less 2025. And we'll see if it's a good pick by the Niners. No one knows anything, but I do think it was the prudent pick. If you're going to move up to three, at least get a guy with upside potential. Mac Jones, I don't know if he's any better than Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know how you're supposed to sell that at number three.
Yeah, I won't deny that he's got cement legs. Like, he's not a guy that can get out of trouble or get out of a bye. He reminds me of Brady, actually, when he came into the league.
Yeah.
In the sense that he's slow, he doesn't move well, he doesn't run ever. He's a dime thrower. The guy's an accurate precision dropper. He throws the ball into places perfectly. He finds his receivers and leads them, and you know, breadbasket type quarterback. He's not a guy that does what Trey Lance does. And let's face it, what Fields does and what Lamar Jackson does, what Kyler Murray does, what Tua is supposed to do. Really, the only guy I would say is Burrow not a guy that just drops back and throws the ball? I mean, he seems to me to be a guy that is a dime thrower himself, and he got hurt. Unfortunately, he got hurt, but he did blow out his knee. So, I mean, you have to wonder how he's going to hold up in the NFL. I mean, but you're right. The league is changing, and great. And Mahomes is a runner. Great quarter. Mm-hmm. Rodgers still runs, is lethal. I mean, you have to do both to be successful anymore. You're right. I think you're right, Dieter.
And I think it was hilarious that there was this notion of a pocket passer for the 49ers. They play in a division with two of the best running quarterbacks that the league has ever seen. I mean, maybe that's a little bit much on Kyler, but if you're telling me Russell Wilson hasn't changed the paradigm in the NFL, I don't know what sport you're watching. That guy has had no, I mean, they might as well not even have a center. They might not even have an offensive line. It's him and a bunch of wide receivers and whichever running back's healthy that week. And he's just playing backyard football, man. And they win 9 games every year at the minimum. And when you have to play the Seahawks and the Cardinals twice a year, you would think, and by the way, the Niners have always struggled to beat those teams, even with great defenses like they've had the last couple of years, on the premise of it's a running quarterback. And you would think that they would internalize that. And so that's why the Mac Jones thing, while I wasn't buying it, and I bought it at the last minute, which is the worst way to do it, at least buy early and sell late. I sold early and bought late. That's a good way to go broke fast. But it never made any sense. I think Jones is going to be just fine. But, again, you already have Jimmy Garoppolo, who is, again, fine. And maybe Jones is the second coming of Tom Brady, but that's a high bar. You got to be so prepared. You have to be next-level prepared and an all-time winner, an all-time competitor, an all-time optimist. You have to have all of these things at the absolute highest level to be successful in this league if you're only going to be able to do, you know, the things that are diagrammed on the play sheet. This league is all about second, third opportunities, making things happen when plays break down, both for the offense and the defense. And, again, I don't know if Lance is going to be able to do it, but he stands a better chance, in my opinion, than Mac Jones. By the way, I was always a Fields guy, so the Bears getting him, my hometown Chicago Bears. Who knows what's going to happen there? Again, no one knows. We're all just guessing, but that could be the steal of the century, man.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think he's going to be very exciting in Chicago. I think it's a great opportunity for him. Great pick by them. I think he's a stud. And in fact, I said on my TV show the other day, I think he's better than Dalton and Foles already. Like, he's already better than them, in my opinion. I mean, I'm not even kidding. I think he is a better quarterback.
I'm with you.
He's not experienced like them. I'll give you that. But he is so dangerous and athletic and strong-armed and smart. But I will give you this. I will say that Ohio State quarterbacks in the NFL have been an utter disaster, all of them. There's never been one good one. There's never been one good one in the NFL.
Right.
Now, let me go back to one thing about the Niners. I think if you look at the Niners, the last two times they were good was with Colin Kaepernick, who ran the ball, and even more so was Steve Young. I mean, Steve Young,
right.
he ran the ball like no other. Certainly, you know, and Montana was a drop-back passer, and I think that Mac Jones is a drop-back passer who will get rid of the ball quickly like Belichick taught Brady, and I think he'll do well for Belichick. And I think Belichick prefers drop-back pocket passers, traditional passers. So I think he went to the perfect team. I do not believe he would have been perfect with the Niners, even though I think he throws with precision. And if you can get rid of the ball like Brady does, he gets rid of the ball. I mean, he drops back, gets rid of the ball. And he makes great, exact precision passes by getting rid of the ball quickly and making that great throw. So I think Mac Jones can have his moment and a career in Boston. But I think with what you're talking about in its entirety, as a whole subject matter, I believe the last two times the Niners have even been good is with running quarterbacks. And I think this kid fits the mold.
I'm with you 100%. It will be really interesting to see with Belichick if that model can still work. I mean, obviously, if anybody can coach up a quarterback to be a Tom Brady type, it's Bill Belichick. That goes without saying. But if that can still work, that's a thing. And honestly, I thought Kyle Shanahan was of that ilk, right? Like, Kyle Shanahan loves Kirk Cousins. He doesn't even make bones about it now. He's flat out said he loves Kirk Cousins, and Kirk Cousins is a guy who can't run. He can bootleg, right? You need to have the ability to bootleg, but that's not really running, and he's certainly not getting you any yards after a bootleg. It's just getting out of the way so you don't get sacked immediately. So that was where a lot of people went. I'm very interested to see Kyle Shanahan run some awesome plays without a quarterback who can run. I mean, he ran awesome plays for Jimmy Garoppolo. What's he going to do when he has a quarterback who can get him 5, 10, 50 yards if you get him out in open space in the field because he's a super freak athlete? I'm very interested to see how that goes down. It could open up a big part of the playbook.
There's no doubt. All right, when we come back with Dieter Kurtenbach of the San Jose Merc, I want to talk about the Warriors, and I want to talk about the A's and the Giants because I think the baseball has been really good in the Bay Area again, like it ought to be, and it is. And then the Warriors are playing fantastic ball right now, and I want to see them beat the Lakers like nobody's business. Like, you have no idea. That's what I pray to God that happens. Always like hooking up with Dieter Kurtenbach out at the San Jose Merc in the Bay Area. So let me ask you about the Warriors, who seldom come out to play. And they, but they, you know, the last two games, I thought they looked fantastic in winning those games, and particularly against the Suns when they outscored them, I think 30-18 in the fourth, and Curry went off. But like in both games, he went off at the end and hit the game-winning shots. And he, you know, nailing the coffin shots. And we've been talking on my Coast to Coast TV show about, look, this guy in a winner-take-all game, just a, you know, who wins this game, flip a coin. That guy is so dangerous. And, you know, the way he plays with Green on the pick and roll, the way he feeds off of Green, his picks, and gets open and without the ball and gets the ball and shoots. The way this guy scores, he can break anyone's heart on any night against any team, anywhere, any day. I don't think the Warriors are that good. They've been average. But lately, they have played good ball, good defense, and he's been going off. And then Wiggins went off the other night. Do you think the way they're playing right now that they are viable to pull off the upset in this play-in?
Oh, absolutely. I think it would be foolhardy to bet against him. I mean, I've made it a good principle in my life to never bet against Draymond Green in anything because that guy's just a winner. And Steph Curry, the evidence is there. If you need to know anything more about Steph Curry, you haven't been paying attention for the last 7 years. This guy's unbelievable. He's a one-of-a-kind force in this league. The interesting thing about the Warriors is you're right. I mean, this is an aggressively average team, even with Curry and Green. And Green has lost a step or two. We can call it like we see it. But, you know, he amps up for the playoffs. With Wiggins stepping up against the Suns, we'll see if that sticks. If it does, that changes the paradigm for this team. And I think that they've found some dudes. They're running short rotations. They're playing small ball. They're tapping into the spirit of Don Nelson here. And they found an identity. They spent so much time this season worrying about how to integrate James Wiseman, the number two overall pick. He's a true center, right? He could be great down the line, but he's a center. This team made its bones over their championship runs by playing small ball, right? They played a center. They had Andrew Bogut and, you know, Maurice Bates and JaVale McGee and all that. But when it going got tough, they slid Draymond Green to the five, and they said it's go time, and they ran dudes off the floor. And I think they found the connection. This kid Jordan Poole out of Michigan creates some spacing next to Curry, because teams are throwing double and triple teams at Curry. So now it just turns into a 4-on-3, 4-on-2. And this guy out of Oakland, who was playing in the Mexican second division not too long ago, he scored like 3 points per game for a bad Marquette team a decade ago, Juan Toscano-Anderson. He's got some Matt Barnes, some Draymond Green in him. There's something about that guy. He's a winning player, and he's gotten his three-point shot to the point where, you know, it's viable. And I think that they got this closing lineup. They know what it is they're doing on offense. They can lock in on defense. If I'm the Lakers, I'm real scared. And honestly, if I'm the Denver Nuggets, if I'm the Utah Jazz, if I'm the Phoenix Suns, I mean, if I'm anybody but the Clippers in the Western Conference playoffs, I'm looking at this Warriors team and saying, man, I don't want to play them. I mean, we'll probably beat them, but they're going to make it hell. They're going to make it absolute hell. And they might win a series or two. They might end up in the, I mean, I don't think that they're going to actually like play for a title or anything. I'm not crazy. But it would not stun me. You get plus odds, but it would not stun me if they were in the Western Conference Finals. If they beat the Lakers, it gets easier from there. So, you know, don't bet against Draymond Green and Steph Curry, man. They'll lose, but I don't know when. And I don't want to bet against them, because that would only make them more angry, and that's liable for them to win a couple more games on you.
I was there when Don Nelson was coaching the Dubs, and he was great. He loved my show. He was cool to me. And then when he was done and he left the game, he went to like Hawaii or something. I think he's living in Kona or something, like something crazy like that. He's like totally like just absolutely flip-flops and t-shirts and smoking cigars and probably smoking doobies. I mean, your boy just I just am so jealous of Don Nelson. Like, what a badass he was. That was when it was really cool to play for the Warriors, back when they had Run-DMC or whatever the hell it was. And Mullen was playing with them. Those were the days. But let me ask you, it was the Jazz and Suns back-to-back. It was unbelievable. I would literally kill to see him beat the Lakers. I think, you know, Davis gets injured putting toast in the toaster, and he got hurt last night playing the Knicks. He's already hurt and out again. It's always something with him. I don't think he's long for this world in the NBA with all of his injuries. I really don't. And then LeBron was supposed to come back tonight. He didn't come back tonight. And I would love nothing more. I mean, honestly, I will run naked down my street if they beat the Lakers. if Steph Curry beats the Lakers, I swear to God, I pray for it every night on my knees. So let me ask you about the A's and Giants. First, the A's, even though the Giants are better. The whole waterfront thing and this threat to move now that they've drawn the line in the sand and said, here's your deadline. Make a move. You're either going to help us build this waterfront stadium or we're out of here. Is that going to work at all? The deadline threats of leaving Oakland, leaving the waterfront plans, and ending up in, let's say, hypothetically, Las Vegas, like the Raiders did.
It might work for the A's in that they'll get this step of the process done. Like, they might need this threat, which is the best card that Major League Baseball and the A's have to play. They might need that card right now, but there's still like 2-3 years of red tape and lawsuits that come after that. And the fact that they're playing this card now just shows how in over their head the organization is when it comes to this situation. And, I've lived in, Oakland for going on a decade now. Like, I've seen enough of these iterations, and there were a dozen more before I even got here. Like, I know how this goes, and it might work. They might get the ballpark. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but, man, they would have truly lucked out in that regard, because they're going up with the waterfront they're going up against the strongest force in East Bay politics, which is the port and the unions that run the port. It is an episode of The Wire out here, and they just walk right into the den. I'm telling you. And you got these dudes who have no idea. Clearly, they did not watch season two, and clearly, they do not know who they're messing with, man. It is going to be quite something. So they might get their vote from the city council. They better know what they're getting themselves into.
That is great. That Carver High, that might be the greatest thing I've heard ever on this show. That may have been tremendous, it right there.
Tremendous.
That was tremendous. Like, that was like high level stuff right there. That was like Hall of Fame worthy. Carver High is going to have to pull that sound clip. That was so strong right there. It was so strong. I'm going to move on. There's nothing else to say after that. That was brilliant. That one just woke me up. That was just so fantastic. All right. So the Giants are winning like crazy. And they're doing it with all these old guys. And I was talking to a really good baseball guy, Craig Mish, covers the Marlins and Donnie Baseball. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows Craig Mish. We're talking about the Giants today on the TV show. And I'm like, at what point will the wheels fall off? Because they're a bunch of ragtag old guys. They're bringing guys in. Like the guy, he told me the story of the guy from the Dodgers is now running the Giants and building them just like he built the Dodgers, platooning guys, right, using all these old guys in different roles every day, and then counting on two guys to play every day, and then patchworking the pitchers in. What is going on with the Giants that they're kicking ass like this and they're better than the Padres and Dodgers? What in the hell is going on?
We just saw the Tampa Bay Rays win the American League, and we can ask the same question of that team last year, man. You mentioned the platoons. I've been calling it the platoon saloon. Guys go in, guys go out. You don't know who's at the bar any given night. The matchups win. They have developed a system where they are getting ace starting pitching. They turned Kevin Gausman into an ace. They're turning Alex Wood into an ace. Logan Webb looked great the other night. They know how to develop pitchers. They've spent a lot of money on staff in that regard, and they're doing a wonderful job. It also helps to pitch in San Francisco at night in the summer where it's impossible to hit a home run. But they're getting pitchers that fit that ballpark, that fit their style, and they're able to produce runs on a night in, night out basis because they're just playing the modern style, man. And everybody on that team has bought in. I don't think they're going to win the division. I don't even know if they're going to make the playoffs. This is a really competent team, though. I mean, if they stunk for the last couple of years, man. They really stunk. And right, they've been getting a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. They're competent now. And next offseason, they're going to splash some money around. Whew. I mean, this NL West can get real wild real fast.
Right.
Real fast.
You're going to be styling out there with all these stories and all these games and all these playoffs and all this potential and then all the crime going on over there in the waterfront and the Wire. Hey, Dieter, I love you. You're the best, man. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight. We'll catch up again real soon. That was fantastic. Great job.
Anytime.
All right, there he is. So I'm watching the Jazz. They're going to lose tonight because are you noticing this, Carver? Not one guy wants to shoot the ball. I mean, they're just passing it around and no one wants to take it because no one can hit it. And they can't hit a shot. They can't even get the shot off. They're getting shot clock violations, shooting bricks. There isn't one guy that can hit a shot. I mean, they are shooting clunkers. I mean, it is ugly. Wide open. They're leaving. Literally, the Blazers are leaving guys wide open and knowing that they can't hit the shot. That's how bad they look. I mean, they're getting their ass beat right now. It's 92-81, and they can't hit a shot. So you can't win a game you can't hit a shot. I mean, if you can't hit a shot, you're not coming back in this game, honestly. And here's Melo hitting a three dagger. Game over.
And here's the problem for the Jazz, right? So they're going to be the one or the two. even with what goes on here, you would have to assume. Now, is Mitchell going to be ready? Is he going to be ready to play in these first round games? Because they're not getting a cupcake. Let's remember that. There's a good possibility that even though we're pumped up about the Warriors and the Lakers playing in that play-in tournament, the loser of that game is probably going to beat the Grizzlies or the Spurs in the next game. So both of those teams are probably going to get in at the end of the day, Lakers and the Warriors. And both of those teams right now, would both of those teams beat the Jazz in the first round if Mitchell doesn't play? Would the Lakers or the Warriors beat the Jazz in the first round seven-game series if they don't have Mitchell for the whole thing?
I think they have a shot, yeah.
Yeah, I do too. And that's going to be a problem for the Jazz.
There's no doubt about it. So we'll see how it all plays out. I can't wait because all this time between now and then is the biggest waste of time ever. It is the biggest waste of time. It's so bad. Worst. Like the games every night are like tank games. Like guys aren't even trying.
Like, this week is just so hard, just in both NBA and NHL. Like, God, can we get a schedule? Like, can we put the schedule out for these hockey playoff games? Jeez. I mean, we can't even get a schedule out of the league. And the NBA is the same. Like, just enough with the string here. Let's get to the playoffs.
Oh, God, it's awful. So it was not Wojcinski who did the story. It was this Emily Kaplan chick who did the story on all the coaches and GMs of the future. So what do you know about this Lane Lampert guy of the Islanders? Is he a hot commodity? He's 56. He's been on his staff with Trotz in Nashville, Washington, and now New York. And everybody loves him.
I was surprised he did not get the Anaheim job 2 years ago. He interviewed for the Anaheim job. They thought he was going to get it, and he did not. He's one of the top guys. He's been with Trotz for a long time, all the stops with Barry. And Barry has campaigned for him, says he's ready to be a head coach. And I would not be stunned if he does get one of these jobs that opens up here in the next few weeks.
So he was a candidate for the Avalanche job that Bednar got, and then the Ducks job that Eakins got in 2019.
I mean, what an awful hire. So, Dallas Eakins. Yeah. I mean, honestly.
That was awful. So Nate Lehman of Providence College is on the radar ever since he led the Friars to an NCAA title in 2015, beating out the Rangers head coach David Quinn, who they just fired, and BU in the title game. So Kirk Muller has been mentioned, but he's not French, so they don't want him in Montreal coaching. And then Patrick Waugh, who the legend, he's been with the Quebec Ramparts as the head coach and GM. There's a lot of people like looking for that type of name, obviously. One of the interesting things is that he's been doing that now for a while and hasn't landed the big NHL job, which is surprising to me. Pascal Vincent, the Manitoba Moose coach, 49-year-old from Laval. He's an obvious candidate for the Canadiens. I've heard other people, though, about the Canadiens. Anyway, up-and-coming coaches, Spencer Carberry of the Hershey Bears. He's a hot name. Chris Knobloch, Hartford Wolfpack head coach. Do you think that so obviously the Rangers fired Gordon, fired Davidson, fired Quinn.
Yeah.
Do you think they'd go to Knobloch?
No.
You know, I have my reservations. I think they're going to have to go hire a name, aren't they?
The Rangers are hiring a name. And here's the thing with the Rangers. Here's why the Ranger job is going to be so unpredictable now. For 15 years, Dolan was not involved in the hockey team. He didn't care at all what went on with the hockey team. He let Sather run it and just left it alone. It's clear from these firings of JD and of Gordon that suddenly Dolan is taking an interest in what goes on with the hockey team. And if he's going to be involved, that means the name is going to be involved. James Dolan is not going to let Drury, first time on the job, go get, you know, Chuck Knobloch or whatever his name is there. Chris Knobloch.
Chuck Knobloch.
He's not going to let Chuck Knobloch come and coach the team out of Hartford. That's just, it's not happening. And here's another thing that's not going to happen. I've seen this floating
Chuck
around.
Chuck Knobloch.
I've seen this floated around some of the New York hockey writers the last 48
bring
hours.
Bringing back, let me guess, bringing back Torts.
I've seen it, and let me tell you, I think that would be a mistake, and I don't think it's going to happen. They are not going down that road again. I know they want to, you know, people who think that they need discipline, the way that Dolan talked about Gorton and everything, they're not going down the Torts road again. They're not.
Dude, how much failure do you have to see before you realize that he's shot? Like, he did a terrible job in Columbus, and he's the biggest jerk in the league. He treats people like crap, and what goes around comes around. Listen, I have given him more heat than anyone in hockey. No one gives him more heat than me. I think the guy's the biggest idiot I've ever seen in any pro sport. I think he acts like a complete tool. He treats people like Shaq, and I think he deserves to get it back in spades. And that's why I talk so bad about him. I can't stand him. If they hire him, I will keel over because they've already been down that road. Now, Jay Leach is at the Providence Bruins head coach. Jay Leach, unless I'm mistaken, I think he was an assistant for my guy, Kurt Frazier, in the Thrashers. Wasn't Jay Leach an assistant with the Thrashers? I think he was.
Very possible. I could tell you right now if
look it up. Jay Leach, L-E-A-C-H, Providence Bruins head coach. He's had former NHL player, 5 years of head coaching experience in the A, and he's also coached as an assistant in the NHL and worked under coaches like Mike Sullivan and Jeff Ward. The reality is he worked under Kurt Frazier, right?
He was with the Thrashers, yes. It says Leach, he's been an assistant coach with the Kings, the Thrashers, the Devils, and Capitals. So
I'm right. Jay Leach. He's a hot commodity. Troy Mann of Belleville Senators. Luis Robitaille from the Olympiques head coach GM in Gatineau. Hopefully I got that right. I don't know. I don't know anything about Gatineau. He's done an amazing, loved by Hockey Canada, they say. Rocky Thompson, the San Jose Sharks associate coach, 43 years old. Andre Tarigny from Team Canada and Ottawa 67's head coach. Mike Vellucci, the Penguins assistant coach. He won the Calder with one of the lowest budget teams in the AHL when the Checkers beat the Marlies of Toronto. Ryan Warsawski, the Chicago Wolves head coach. Jay Woodcroft, the Bakersfield Condors head coach. And then coaches that they'd like to see in the NHL. Dante Abercrombie of Stevenson University.
Who?
Corey Chevrier.
Come on.
Of Ryerson University men's hockey assistant and Team
Ned
Canada.
Ned Ryerson?
Jukka Jalonen, the Finnish head coach. David Nemirovsky, the Torpedo Nizhny Novgorod head coach. I don't even know what that means. Okay, Jason Payne of the Cincinnati league. Cyclones. And then here you go, the next wave of GMs. John Ferguson Jr., the Bruins assistant GM. Chris McFarlane, the Avalanche assistant GM. Scott Mellenby, everybody knows him, Montreal's assistant GM. Kevin Weeks, they're saying, our buddy Weeksy from the NHL Network, who's been on the show a bunch of time.
I would love to see Weeksy get a job. That would be great.
Derek Clancy, a free agent, worked for the Penguins, worked his way up the ranks. There you go. He's got his name on the Stanley Cup three times.
He was tight with Shiro and Rutherford.
Derek Clancy, Matthew Darche, Tampa Bay Lightning, director of hockey ops. Rob DiMaio, you remember him? Blues director of player personnel. Trevor Georgie from the St. John Sea Dogs, GM and president there. Ryan Hardy, the Chicago Steel GM, 35 years old. Ryan Hardy. Ryan Johnson, the Utica Comets GM. Vancouver Canucks senior director of player development. Well, which is it? There you go. Oh, he had a 701 game career as a checking center. And then he was hired by the Canucks organization. And then I guess they sent him to the Utica or something. Scott Nickel, the Predators director of player development. Nat Domicelli, Lugano GM, Canadian born guy. Cammy Granato, the Seattle Kraken scout. Angela James, the Hockey Hall of Famer. Florence Schelling, a free agent, became the first female GM in a top-level men's pro hockey. She's just 31. In announcing the hiring, Burn CEO Mark Lutie noted that she's young, will bring new perspective and break up existing structures. Eric Tulski, the Carolina Hurricanes assistant GM under Waddell. There you go. Those are all the names of the future of hockey. And
I've heard of about
10 of them.
Yeah, look, there's not a lot of names that you've heard of there, especially mainstream. But here's the thing with hockey, and it's not like the other sports. You know, the NBA, a lot of bigger names, sometimes former players, do jump into the head coaching ranks. They like to coach. You don't see it as much in hockey. You know, like, remember Gretzky tried and it just didn't work? Like, there's, you don't see a lot of the big former players go into head coaching. Wah got that Colorado job, and now he's been in the juniors for like, geez, what, 7-10 years now. Wah's been sitting around waiting to get another crack in juniors. So that's why you do need to find some of these diamonds in the rough, because the former player doesn't want to coach, and it's understandably so. Tough job.
The Oilers beat the Canadiens tonight in overtime 4-3. The Senators beat the Leafs 4-3 in overtime. The Knights blew out the Sharks, 6-0 in San Jose. The Blues 4-0 over the Wild. I hit that. Hit the Knights. Hit the Oilers. Lost the Leafs. And I hit the Avalanche 6-0 over the Kings. Great games tonight by the Kings, Wild, and Sharks. None of them scored.
Yeah. So now if the Avs win tomorrow night against the Kings, they win the West, they win the President's Trophy, they get it all. They'll be the number one seed in the playoffs.
And they're playing the Kings tomorrow night again?
Yes.
They'll kill them. That's a done deal then. They win the West and the President's Trophy, and they won't win the Stanley Cup. All right, the Dodgers are up in the bottom of the fifth with two on, two outs. They lead the Mariners 4-1. And the White Sox just beat the Twins 13-8 on the south side of Chicago. They just keep winning. The White Sox are for real. The Marlins are up on the D-backs 3-2 in Zona, bottom eight. The Diamondbacks have a runner at first, nobody out. Leadoff man on. Reds beat the Pirates 5-1 and 10. Yankees 1-0 over the Rays. Took the first two of that series. A's 4-1 over the Red Sox at Fenway. Mets 7-1 over the Orioles today. They beat up on Harvey. Indians in 10, 2-1 over the Cubs. Padres and Rockies split 2. Padres 5-3 in the opener. 3-2 Rockies in the cap. Phillies in 10 over the Nats. 5-2. The Royals have lost 10 in a row. Tigers beat them 4-2. Casey Mize, the winner. Jays beat the Braves in Atlanta 4-1. Brewers 4-1 over the Cardinals in Brewtown. And the Astros blew out the Angels 9-1. I think Grinke was going, unless I'm mistaken. And then NBA, I told you, it just all night as I was watching that game, they looked like they were in big trouble. The Blazers beat the Jazz 105-98 in Salt Lake. I mean, the Jazz looked terrible tonight. Mavs 125-107 all over the Pelicans. The Cavs upset the Celtics. The Celtics are in the play-in no matter what now. 102-94, huge win. The Celtics loss gets the Knicks into the playoffs automatic. The Knicks are in. And right now they're facing the Bucks. That's not going to be pleasant. Nets 128-116 over the Spurs. Your boy Harden came back, had a big game as usual, 11 dimes. Hawks rallied to beat the Wizards 120-116. The Wizards were getting 6.5, though. They covered. The Lakers, no LeBron, no Davis, tied right now in the third with the Rockets at 69. How embarrassing is that? The Rockets are awful, and they're giving the Lakers fits. They raised their banner, number 17 tonight in Staples, so congratulations to them. Screw them. I hope they lose the game. I'll see you tomorrow on Coast to Coast at 4. Peace out.
It's 2026, not 2006. Your antivirus shouldn't feel like a dial-up. WebRoot Essentials protects your new and old devices without slowing them down. It scans 6 times faster, uses 33 times less space, and it's ranked number one against Norton, McAfee, basically all the usual suspects. And right now, you can get an exclusive 60% off when you go to webroot.com/audio. Lock in the smarter, lighter, faster protection your devices deserve and get WebRoot Essentials today. That's webroot.com/audio for 60% off.